Hi, I'm Derek. I'm just getting started here on the Grim Worlds podcast and thought I'd take an opportunity to, sponsor myself. As you listen to the stories I'm able to provide, I want you to be aware of an additional way you can support the podcast beyond just liking, sharing, or leaving a review. You now have an opportunity to become a patron of the weirdness happening here thanks to Patreon. That's right, neighbors. If you head over to patreon.com/grimworlds, that's worlds with an S on the end, you'll find several tiers of monthly support for the production that will go towards building the infrastructure and paying both our musicians and authors a fair wage for their hard work. Some of the benefits you can access are higher quality, ad-free downloads of each episode, behind-the-scenes drama as I argue with myself, and they swing all the way up to having the chance to submit your own weird fiction to be performed and a biannual chance to play a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons one-shot adventure with me behind the screen as your Dungeon Master. I really do appreciate all the support in getting this project off the ground. Please visit patreon.com/grimworlds and select a tier today. That's patreon.com/grimworlds with an S on the end, and help spread the weirdness. Now, on to the episode.
Relax for a second. Before you is a heavy oak door with an ornate iron lock and a lever handle. Now, think about your next action carefully.
If you work the handle, if you pull the weight of the door, if you step past the threshold, you will enter a weird and unique space filled with odd mythologies and fae tales from outside of belief. These are the Grim Worlds. My name is Derek Olson, and I'll be your guide, but I won't be your guardian. Careful where you step, and don't lose sight of the door. The darkness goes deeper than you know. Sand Dragon by Tyrell Viner. Questan settled his weariness on an old wooden bench beside a dragon. He eyed the sleek-necked lizard for several long breaths before grinning and leaning in close enough to whisper a secret into the creature's ear. The beast was stone dead, and it had only been a small secret, but it was older than the carving that hurt it. Old enough, anyway. The duo sat together and watched the desert wind whip sand past the sagging structure of the carousel where they sat.
It is unlikely to stop.
He was eyeing the dragon.
The wind, I mean, not the sand. The sand always stops eventually.
He looked around the wreckage of wood and brass.
I guess everything stops eventually.
Questan snorted derisively and nudged the carved course.
That used to be a secret, too. Special kind of secret. The kind that everyone knew, no one wanted. People slaughtered each other because of it.
The dragon watched the desert with unblinking eyes and pretended not to notice the change in Questan's tone.
I collect secrets, you know. Secrets of power, like that first one I told you. Once upon a time, I hoarded them to use the influence and power for whatever purpose I deemed worthy. I wasn't too picky, either.
He laughed and nudged the wooden figure. The wind shifted at his words, and a brass-bodied centaur 2 rows over rattled at the duo, spinning on the pole in its middle. Questan raised his hands as if in surrender.
Do not be so hasty, my horse-hawked friend. Those causes I championed were not all for my benefit.
He caught the dragon's unblinking eye.
Well, perhaps not entirely. But I did as I thought best. I helped when I could and whom I could, and the world continued to fall apart around us. I grew ever more and more desperate. I sought those places of power that remained. I learned their secrets. I understood their teachings. I grew so powerful, I...
The wind died away for a moment, and the wanderer paused in his rantings, finding himself suddenly on his feet with no idea how he got there. He paused, looking around again at the rotting wood and metal audience, and gathered his thoughts like they were lost children.
The universe has rules, you see. Everything in it must obey those rules. So the more you know about how things work, the more you can manipulate them.
He breathed a heavy sigh and watched a whirlwind of sand dance across the horizon.
I wasn't the only one, you know. There were others. Sages, priests, wizards, sorcerers. They called us all sorts of things. Every culture had a name for what we did, though most of them refused to believe we existed. Even after...
The whirlwind danced closer, stealing sand from the endless dunes and spinning it skyward. Questan pulled a ragged bag from a pocket and withdrew the remains of a sandwich he had pilfered the week before. There wasn't much left, but it hadn't started to sour yet. He ate slowly, mulling over every bite. Dinner ended as the whirlwind died, vomiting sand into the sky only for it to fall back to the earth with the sound of falling rain. He reached once more into the bag and pulled out the last of the cookies that had originally filled it. He broke the sweet treat in half and offered the first piece to the dragon beside him, and then to the judgmental centaur, but neither beast accepted. He eyed the cookie regretfully.
That was our mistake. We didn't share. Some of us were selfish. All of us were scared. We feared that the power our secrets granted was too great to contain. We feared ourselves, we feared each other, but mostly we feared what might happen if our secrets became known to everyone.
The wanderer shook his head and bit deep into the cookie, savoring the taste.
It was hubris. It was stupidity. We feared what they would do with our powers and never bothered to consider that it might not be all that bad. There have always been destructive people that would twist the world, but they have always been outnumbered by the builders, the crafters, and the ones who are only ever just passing through life. All the people who make up society, who make up families and tribes and clans, those are the people who we should have trusted. Had we given our powers to the world, the destroyers would have twisted and destroyed, but the builders and protectors, they would have fought and rebuilt. The heavens alone know what that would have led to.
Questan shrugged, shook his head, and finished his cookie.
Now, who knows? Maybe it's too late, maybe it's not, but now I share my secrets. I seek them out, I gather them, and I plant them in the minds and the souls of everyone I can. This world is closer to death than ever. The destroyers have the whole world to play with. So I say we let magic spread and let the builders build. What the hell harm can it do now?
He fell silent then. The sun was almost down and it would soon be time to move on. The wind shifted with the coming night and blew through the scattered detritus of the carousel. The ancient brass and wood creaked and groaned. The centaur rattled and the dragon stared. Questan listened to it all, waiting. The pale wind roared through the ragged bars, filling the world with noise. The eyes of the dragon gleamed, and Questan leaned in close, placing his ear near the creature's mouth. The world of sand and wind faded. Questan's eyes filled with an older world of light and music. Lights above and beyond glittered along the carved scales of the dragon's long neck. The centaur flexed and rolled along. Beasts of all shapes sang with laughter and merriment, and people of all sizes, colors, and ages clapped and laughed, cried and talked, shared and smiled. And then it was gone. Only the wind remained. Questan laughed, blinking back tears and basking in the warmth of the fading sun, savoring the memories shared by the dragon. Then, with a grunt and a shove, he climbed to his feet.
It is a wonderful time to be alive.
He made his way out of the wreckage and began struggling through the desert sand, carrying his new secret with him until he could share it.
Hi, I'm Derek. What a wonderful time to be alive. I read these words and absolutely fell in love with this story. It was a good reminder for me and probably everyone that there is hope and possibility even in the midst of a sweeping dystopian wasteland. Thank you for that, Ty.
The other thing that struck me here was the complicit evil of secrets. Even secrets kept for the greater good. There are dangerous things that are kept as secrets, but if the world were more the open source, would the well-being done outweigh the harm? Neighbors, it's easy for me to be jaded. It's really my default setting. But I do remind myself that there's a likely possibility I'm wrong, and in these instances, I like to be wrong. Just like I was wrong about Sandragon. I started reading the story thinking I knew where it was headed, and damn it if I didn't fall right into Ty's trap. I hope you did too. I don't want to feel lonely down here. Well, neighbors, if you have a chance, I'd appreciate if you take a second and do one or more of the things. Give us a like, give us a share, give us a boost or a review. Stop and give us a good word on Instagram at GrimWorlds. That's one word with an S on the end. Help spread the weirdness. The story rights are retained by the author, Tyrell Viner. The background music is Broken by Frequency Collisions off their Broken Mountains album. Additional music was provided by Winter Gitan. There are links to the musicians, the author, and our sponsors in the show notes found at grimworlds.com. For both reason and passion, I'm Derek Olson, and I want to thank you for listening. Be well.